Oh, welcome. Hope you all had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. No announcements. Questions, Terry?
Can you tell us what the United States reaction is to the Iran saying that they're willing to come back without preconditions to the EU3 talks?
So we're glad they're going back to the EU3 talks, and we hope that they produce productive results. We've always been clear on the end state, which is that we want Iran to suspend all enrichment and reprocessing activities, and we wish them success.
Do you think this is a breakthrough of any type, or can you measure it yet?
Trust but verify. We'll just have to wait and see.
Why did the president pick a man who is so contemptible of the public servants in Washington to be his domestic advisor, saying people in Washington are morally repugnant, cheating, shifty human beings? Why would he pick such a man to be a domestic advisor?
You meant contemptuous as opposed to contemptible, I think.
Pure contempt.
Well, I'm not sure it's pure contempt. I know Carl Zinsmeister pretty well, and he's somebody who expresses himself with a certain amount of piquancy. You're perhaps familiar with that, aren't you, Helen? And so as a consequence, from time to time, he's going to say, he'll have some sharp elbows.
His attitude toward public servants.
I don't think it's his attitude toward public servants. It may have been toward the press. Just kidding. No, I look, if you look at the bulk of what Carl Zinsmeister has done at the American Enterprise and elsewhere, I think you're going to find somebody who's done some pretty meaty and interesting research on a variety of topics. The reason he's being brought in is that he's... I'm not going to. It is one sentence a guy wrote, and perhaps you may recall. Yes?
Arrogant, morally repugnant, cheating, shifting.
That's a lot in one sentence, isn't it? He just packed it right in. Jim.
So what is the attitude
to it? The attitude is we're glad to have a guy on board who has breadth of knowledge, who has breadth of interest and of experience, and is going to bring.
For other human beings.
Help. Tell you what, why don't you get to know Carl, because I think you're going to find out that to judge somebody on the basis of one sentence is probably a little unfair.
Bring
Jim.
How could it be unfair?
He'll charm you. No.
I don't want to get in the way of this. About this morning's statement and announcement of the President's choice for the new Treasury Secretary. The president called it a hopeful time and listed some economic statistics that makes the administration's case for the economy being in good shape. If the economy is humming along so well, why the need for a change?
Well, because the outgoing Treasury Secretary John Snow had made it clear that he wanted to move on. So if you have somebody who's vacating, if you've got somebody vacating the office, you need to fill it.
So if he didn't want to leave, he would still be serving, would have been fine with the president if he wrote it right on out to the end of the term?
I'm not going to try to prejudge that because I honestly don't know the answer. But it's pretty clear, and I think many people in the room had gotten wind of it. The Treasury Secretary was eager to leave and move on to something else. I honestly can't tell you, Jim. You're asking me a hypothetical question for which I don't have an answer, and I'm not sure there is an answer.
Washington's most repeated rumor that the administration wanted Secretary Snow to go was sort of baseless and just...
Again, you're asking a guy who's jumped in midstream, and I can't give you any kind of answer on that.
One more question on this. Mr. Paulson.
Yes.
I can certainly understand, looking at his record, why the White House would want to have him. Why do you think he wanted the job? 2.5 years left in an administration that's got some political difficulty right now. Why do you think Paulson wanted the job?
I don't know why anybody would come into an administration at this particular point and leave relatively more lucrative employment. I'll tell you why. It's because all I can do is give you the reasons that I came in. I suspect they're the same for him, but I'll let him answer it, which is it's stimulating, it's important, it's exciting, and it's unlike any kind of job that you'll ever have for the rest of your life. That's my view of this job. I have a feeling his is quite similar, but you'll probably have to ask Hank Paulson about it. Jessica?
Yeah. When was the president first briefed about the events in Haditha?
When a Time reporter first made the call. The Time began asking questions about it. He was briefed by Steve Hadley at the time, began asking questions then.
And then after that, what's been his personal involvement in...
Well, I'm not going to get into his personal involvement. I think it's safe to... this is a Department of Defense issue, but I'll tell you, here's a safe characterization.
Personal interest in it.
Well, of course. I think anybody who's heard the story has a personal interest in it. It's impossible not to. But the president also is allowing the chain of command to do what it's supposed to do in the Department of Defense, which is to complete an investigation. The Marines are taking an active and aggressive role in this. And I have been told and was assured earlier today when I called about it that when this comes out, all the details will be made available to the public. So we'll have a picture of what happened. Steve.
Do you have any TikTok on the Paulson pick? The
TikTok is the two of them met on the 20th of May. And there was a conversation, and Hank Paulson accepted the job a day later. That was subject to clearance. It does take time, especially for a Senate confirmable position, to complete those. So it did take time to get some of those clearances wrapped up.
So that's why there's been no announcement between May 21st.
Correct.
And okay.
Correct.
Okay. Well, on that point, it's well known that the White House senses that the president's not getting enough credit for good economic facts. Why does he need a guy like Hank Paulson now?
Well, you don't bring in a Treasury Secretary as a PR man. You bring in a Treasury Secretary as being one of your key economic aides. I'll just repeat what he says. Although he does say he's a chief spokesman, he also says a leading force on the economic team. You want somebody who's capable, and I think you can agree that the chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs Group would probably fall into that category, somebody who is familiar with the workings of the economy and how to keep it humming along.
Right, but I mean, the reality is, as the president pointed out, he does need a PR guy. He needs somebody to be able to sell it. He needs that on a number of fronts right now. So, what does this change mean? Why does he need
this? You missed the earlier question, which is, he's coming in. Well, no. It's in response to filling a vacancy. What you do in a situation like this is you reach out and try to get the best person you can get. And judging from the early returns, you've got Democrats and Republicans all thinking it's a sensational choice. You look for the best man for the job, and I think the president feels that he got that.
This is not a real good ideological match for the president. Does he specifically want that now? Does he want somebody who's going to disagree with him on a number of fronts, global warming, other areas, Paulson will certainly not shy away from bringing to the table?
As someone who has disagreed with the president in a prior life, let me explain. The president is not afraid to have people who disagree with him. He does want people who are going to be loyal and carry out his policies, but the important thing is to try to assemble a group of people who are smart, who are experienced, who are dedicated, who are loyal, who could take a problem and turn it a different angle. So you examine it every angle. You're not simply taking one point of view, and therefore entertaining different points of view, try to come up with the most sensible policy possible.
This is year six. You were brought in year six, so is he. There's been a lot of changes around here.
Yeah.
Certainly not.
Well, I'm not going to speak for years 1 through 5. I'm telling you that what's going on right now is let me just say my experience from my first day here is that debates are wide open, they're wide ranging, and opinions, even those that disagree with the president, are aired and people discuss them. And that's one of the really stimulating things about working here. And I think Hank Paulson is certainly going to be able to express his views on these issues. Carl.
I'm a little bit confused on the TikTok. You said that the job was offered to Mr. Paulson on May 20th and,
yes,
and accepted and processed on the 21st.
That's correct.
So we're talking more than a week ago. The president last week, when he was asked how he was going to deal with Mr. Snow, said, well, he hasn't said he's going to offer his resignation to me, and then went on to say he's a good job. This was something that was in play, obviously, before
right.
that. So in terms of it filling a vacancy, which is how you characterized it a minute ago, it wasn't a vacancy, it was switching a person, wasn't it?
No, well, it says, no, he's not talked to me about resignation. That does not mean that there were not other discussions. I mean, it was artfully worded, but on the other hand, the one thing you do not want to do in a situation like this is to start speculating about changes before the changes are ready to be made. Those do have impacts on markets, and you have to be responsible and cautious in the way you deal with them. Again, at that point, Hank Paulson, you've got to make sure that you've got all the clearances taken care of.
Tony, two questions. One, after meeting with the president, Prime Minister Tony Blair, he went to give a foreign policy statement or speech at the Georgetown University last week, where he was talking about reforming of the United Nations Security Council, and he said that India should get the seat because China has it, and therefore India is the largest democracy in the world. I'm asking is that if this issue came here with the president, discussion?
It was not discussed. The meeting I attended was not discussed.
How president feel about his views and his own?
They did not discuss it. I can't tell you what the president's views are about India's membership on the P5.
On Indonesia, now there was a big 10,000 died and close to 500,000 are on the road. What do you think United States is doing as well?
Dana gave a full readout on that. If somebody wants to pull me the fact sheet, or I'd actually just direct you back to the gaggle, because Dana gave a readout on all that this morning.
Tony, Ed. The president met last night with President King Abdullah of Jordan, and I wonder, did the king push him at all to have more direct talks with Iran?
It was a private dinner, and we've got no readout for you on that.
Why was that not put on the schedule? Why didn't you alert anyone?
Again, it's a private dinner, and I'm not in a position to give any kind of readout on it. April.
Now the Secretary of Snow is leaving. What happens to the issue of simplifying the tax code? He never came up with the recommendations that the Commission gave their report, and the President didn't give a deadline. Does this now fall on the new Secretary of Treasury once that person is confirmed?
I suspect it does, but I don't have a clear answer for you, April. I'll try to find out.
Well, let me ask you this. Even though Secretary of Snow
I really don't know anything about timing on that. It's clearly an issue of interest to the president. It's clearly an issue of interest to millions and millions of Americans who find it mind-numbing to try to do their own taxes. So tax simplification is something that's widely popular, but sometimes it's politically contentious. I honestly don't know where we stand in the process, and I'll try to find out.
It was a priority of the president, and you would have thought that by it being a priority, he would have had a deadline and he would have done it, or he would do it before he walked
in. Again, I'm just on the train to get an answer for you.
On the briefing of the president about Haditha,
yes.
Since Steve Hadley briefed him after time had called off questions about it, was that a briefing by Steve Hadley that was already planned, or did he brief him because time called off the questions?
I won't overstep. I'll have to find. I've given you the guidance I got, and I will try to find out specifically. My guess is, I just don't know.
You had said that the Treasury Secretary is a key economic advisor, not a PR guy. The economy is doing so well. Can you name the specific policies that new Treasury Secretary.
No, I'm not kidding. Number one, you've got let's let the Treasury Secretary be confirmed before we start talking about policies that will be pursued. That would be presumptuous. And number two, as I've said a number of times, I'm not going to engage in market-moving speculation from the podium. Obviously, a number of issues will arise during Senate confirmation, and we'll have to see what they say. But the most important thing is he's going to be the point man for the president's economic policies, Mark.
Right. I just wanted to come back to Iran one more time. Is there going to be anything different about these negotiations, any change in the administration strategy, and any reason to expect a different outcome than the last round?
The first thing we've got to do is get a change on Iranian behavior. I mean, there have been a number of occasions where the Iranians have signaled some willingness to negotiate, and then they pulled the rug out. We saw it most recently last week when there was conversation about two-party negotiations simply about Iraq, where we had empowered our ambassador, Zaw Khalilzad, to speak with the Iranians, and the Iranians bailed out on it. So they have to demonstrate not only good faith in negotiations, but good behavior, and we haven't seen any of that yet. Les.
Yes, Tony, two questions. First, since 7 of the 9/11 skyjackers used Virginia driver's licenses as a form of ID, how does the president feel about the Maryland legislature refusing to require that license applicants provide a valid Social Security number?
I have no idea. I'm not sure the president has been following that particular issue. But thank you for calling it to our attention.
Good. How does the former Texas governor that you work for feel about the news this morning that in parts of Texas, the speed limit has been increased to 80 miles an hour?
You know, that one hasn't come up either. But I want to thank you. Those are two greatly.
Have you ever been motoring in West Texas, and did you keep it under 60?
I have not been motoring in West Texas, but I have a feeling, we do believe that states have the the authority to raise the speed limits, and I think that they do it in a way that they think is safe, sane, and secure.
You support this?
No, I'm simply saying that states have the right to do it. That is a statement of fact.
Yes, what can we expect on the immigration speech coming up on Thursday? Will the president be making any suggestions on how the two chambers might bridge the wide gap?
I think what the president is going to do, once again, is to reiterate the five principles he laid out in the speech before the nation and encourage Congress to approach this in a comprehensive manner. That in and of itself does provide a basis for both sides to negotiate. So what you will see is the president now taking the next step. We have always said, let's wait till the Senate gets a bill done. Now the Senate has a bill done. It's time to figure out ways. You're absolutely right to get both houses to work together, but to do it in a comprehensive manner.
But no specific new ideas, just the
well, I don't think the ideas right now are pretty substantial as it is.
And what about a timetable for reconciliation? Is this something he wants to done in the next few months or before?
Trying to impose timetables on Congress, I think it's safe to say that discussions with members of Congress, members of both houses, leadership of both houses, made it clear to the president that they hope this is done before Election Day.
Two rather non-earth-shaking questions. Sorry, a group of us were late, but we were locked out.
I know. We actually held up because we knew a lot of you were trapped out there.
Illuminated, tell us what's going on out front, or are we not?
There was a dangerous package, the fear of a dangerous package, which tends to happen this time of year.
Feared now?
I certainly hope so, yeah, I think so.
I wondered if you're now a Maryland-safe voter.
Yes, I passed my Maryland voting test before getting out on my boat in Maryland over the weekend.
Can you give us a readout on the president's meeting this morning with the Iraq experts?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I forgot to bring the list. But actually, do you have the list, Fred? It was an interesting meeting. What you ended up having was, I've got all the names but one written down here. We had, Wayne Downing, Barry McCaffrey, Michael Vickers, Amir Tahiri, Fuad Ajami, and Rod Al-Qadiri. And you had a combination there of military men and also scholars who are students of Iraq. And it was a interesting discussion that touched upon cultural issues, on political issues, on the state of affairs in Iraq. You had a number of people who've been there recently, General McCaffrey having returned just last month from his latest visit. Fuad Ajami last year had the occasion to sit down and speak with the Ayatollah Sistani, Ali al-Sistani. The president wanted to hear about that, and what he really wanted first was to get their honest opinions, and again, these were honest opinions about how things are going in Iraq, about the status and viability of the government and what the United States needs to do on the way forward. The one thing that was of mutual agreement is that, number one, this is an important enterprise, and number two, that we can and will win it. But those are sort of the general outlines of the conversation.
General McCaffrey has been somewhat critical of not only troop deployments in Iraq, but also the leadership of Secretary Rumsfeld. Was that subject raised in the meeting?
What's also interesting, because I spoke with the general a couple of weeks ago. He dropped by my office and spoke, and he's put together a paper, portions of which have been published. At this point, he's not ventilating any agreements or disagreements with the Secretary of Defense. He's actually highly complimentary of what's going on there, but he also has some practical concerns, especially as regards to...
Today?
I'm sorry, what?
Has he read the papers today? If he's complimentary?
Yes, I'll get to your question because it's a good one to take up, but permit me to finish, and because I do like the question, Helen. But he's been complimentary of the men and women who are doing the fighting, and as a result, and also some of the developments he sees on the ground. So what General McCaffrey, he had some disagreements about what happened in the immediate aftermath in the spring of 2003, but I think you're going to find that he's been quite supportive. Now, Helen, as to your question, nobody expects the war is going to be easy, and one of the things that is very obvious is that the president takes this very seriously, and so do the people in that room. You had a number of former military officers who do not take lightly the loss of life or of property or anything else in Iraq. And it's frankly one of the points, I suppose, of pride in the United States of America, that we really do care about this. We care not only about our people, but also the people in Iraq. And that did come up. Because it's a war. And unfortunately, that's what happens in wars. If there was some way... because a couple of things. The president has faith in the power. The president has faith in the power of freedom, not only as an idea, but also as a guiding principle. He also has faith in the men and women who are doing the fighting. Anybody who saw the speech that he gave yesterday at Arlington understands that he not only has faith, but a deep respect and admiration. He gets choked up every time he talks about it because these are young men and women, like the group at West Point. These are all people who decided that they would go to the U.S. Military Academy after September 11, 2001, knowing that it would be a time of war, possible peril to them, and they did it.
What was 9/11?
Are we going to just hopscotch across these? I mean, the point here, Helen, is real simple.
You're making points, though.
I'm making points about the ongoing war.
We all know they're serving with great, faith.
Well, you just,
the problem is, this killing goes on for 3 years, and the president still cannot give you a basic reason why we're there.
Yes, he can, and he's made it many times, Ed.
Can I ask you a question on, did the Attorney General ever directly tell the president that he was threatening to resign over the Jefferson raid?
I don't believe so, but I in fact, no, he didn't. That much I've been briefed, yeah.
Was it conveyed to the president through justice officials, and how serious of a threat do you think this was? I mean, it got a lot of attention.
You know, I think it's, what happened was that there were some tense moments in negotiations between House negotiators and people at the Department of Justice. And it looked like there was going to be a stalemate over the simple issue of who gets the documents. Both sides were citing either the Constitution or their obligations under the Constitution as the reason they should get the documents. And so you had this to and fro about it. And if somebody had tried to force that decision into a narrow timetable, you might have gotten a stalemate. The president realized that the only way out of that, and there was some inkling in the conversations, that neither side wanted that. So both sides were looking for some way to be able to step back. And what the president did, and I've told you this before, is he flipped the incentives around. Suddenly, by putting the documents under the control of the Solicitor General, he took that issue off the table. And then the two sides have said, we are going to need to figure out a way to do this because it's probably not the last time a member of Congress will be investigated. Therefore, they need to come up with some way of being able to put into hands of prosecutors relevant evidence, and at the same time also make sure that the speech and debate clause privileges for the House and Senate are honored by the Department of Justice and by all branches of government. So now all of a sudden they've got a shared interest in trying to figure this thing out. I have, not being a lawyer, I don't know how it works out, but I do know now you have bright and tenacious legal minds working together rather than at odds with one another. And I think that's a critical difference.
Just one other follow-up on Carl about Secretary Snow. When the president was asked, when he was standing next to Prime Minister Blair, and millions of people watching, he's telling the American people that I've got no indication the secretary is going to
resign. He has not talked to me about resignation. I mean, it was very carefully worded. But again, what you didn't want to have, I think, is at a period of time when you don't have, when you haven't finished doing your clearances for the Treasury Secretary, the person you want to fill that position, you don't want to have chaos in the markets. It was.
But he's already offered it to somebody. He's got it in hand. I mean, you offer these positions all the time and wait for FBI background searches that sometimes take a long time. I mean, the Supreme Court nominees take 6 weeks, but you still announce to the public.
Well, it's, again, Hank Paulson at that time, you don't announce somebody, hasn't been pre-cleared. You haven't finished the clearance process, you don't announce it. Period. I mean, it's just
without even announcing him, you could have at least he could have been direct and said, "Well,
no,
we're expecting."
With all due respect, I think there was some concern again about how something like that affects the markets. If you have uncertainty for an extended period of time, which would have been at that point 4 or 5 days, I think that is something that you got to worry about, and you've got to be responsible in dealing with it. April.
Well, when was the president notified that there was a possibility that Congressman Jefferson's office could be raided?
The White House was not informed until the serving of the warrant was in progress. Nobody called up and said, this is going to happen. The White House was informed after the process had begun.
Now, that brings another question. Shouldn't the president have been informed that this was going to happen as he is the chief executive, as he is made aware?
Well, it's a judgmental
into an issue of abuse of power.
Run that by me again.
this led into an issue of abuse of power, wouldn't you have thought in the Justice Department that this needs to be
You know what I would do is I would refer that to the Justice Department for an answer, because you're asking in these interesting and important state of mind questions that I'm not in a position to answer.
Well, was the Justice Department heavy-handed in doing this again, asking the president
The Justice Department regularly conducts criminal investigations without consulting the president. It does hundreds of thousands per year. Again, I'm not going to get into it. That's a question you may direct to the Justice Department.
Well, there is a joint news availability with the British Prime Minister. The president said he regretted Abu Ghraib, and yet no one was killed at Abu Ghraib. And we are on the edge here, apparently, of seeing the worst massacre since My Lai back during the Vietnam years. What kind of damage control are you and the president getting ready to put forward? And the second part of the question is, did the discussion of Haditha come up at that experts meeting today?
The second question first, Haditha did not come up at the experts meeting. You don't do damage control. What you try to do is find out what the facts are, and that's what's going on right now at the Department of Defense. And rather than trying to leap to any conclusion from the podium, let's all wait. We're all going to see this, and we'll all be able to draw conclusions, and we'll all be able to learn from it. But, I don't even want to get into discussing such things as damage control. I think it's all premature.
In addition to the president obviously being concerned and watching the outcome of the investigation, there are two, as we understand it, one for the possible killing and two about the possible cover-up. What is his personal mood as he talks to you and the other staff members? I mean, is this a...
We have not... Again, we need to find out what the facts are. So there have not been any long talks about this particular thing. Everybody wants to find out what happened. I mean, that's the first thing. You want to find out what happened. So that's true for everybody. I mean, we've all seen sort of the same stuff leaking out, but keep in mind you're getting little pieces here and little pieces there. We're going to get a full picture, and then my guess is that you'll get I'll be able to give you a pretty clear readout on where the president thinks we ought to go.
Clarify an answer to April about tax reform when you said you suspect the president might be pursuing it. Are you saying
there's
a possibility the whole...
No, I think I was just making a general comment about the president's his general support, stated support in the past for tax reform. I am not announcing any new policies or initiatives. She was referring to the general proposition that we ought to have a simpler tax code, and I think most people would agree with that. That's no more, no less.
It's more than a proposition. The commission came out with recommendations.
I understand. I understand.
And he was supposed to take action on those recommendations.
I understand.
And it's been deemed a priority by the president.
I understand. I don't know. I really don't know. We will attach a little. We'll do a bupkis list for today's press briefing, and if there is any specific timetable I can pass on to you about the proper disposition of this, I think it is safe to say that there's a pretty crowded legislative calendar, and I think we've got plenty to do between now and the end of the year.
Do you have anything on the North Korean defectors coming into the United States recently?
No, I don't. And I apologize, but I'll have to look that up. I don't. Okay, thank you, Steve.